Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No, it's awkward. You know, this happened 5 days ago. Right? The guy, you know, what he did since 2017 when he got called up all the way to the last game against New York, he produced, you know, and you look at the list of, homers in the franchise, the 500 extra base hits, the World Series ring. There's a lot of stuff that Rafi did for us that we're going to miss, and we're very proud of him. So to face him here, it's going to be different. From my end, you know, it's a night game, it's a day game, you know, and we get out, you know, and he's going to keep doing his thing over here. You know, this is a tough division with a lot of ex-teammates, right? So somebody has to win. But from my end, I appreciate everything he did for us, everything he did for me. And but like I always said, this is the weekend, we have to get him out. We're prepared for that, and he's prepared for that, obviously, to do the opposite.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
That was Alex Cora pregame yesterday in the Red Sox dugout. He had a very big media contingent around him. Obviously, the Red Sox media contingent is pretty sizable, but the Giants media contingent was in there as well, as obviously we had some questions about Rafael Devers that we wanted to ask him. And, you know, Dan, the struggles of the offense this week are obviously the big story, but the real big thing that happened this week was the trade of Rafael Devers and his debut with the Giants. And yeah, again, he's one of those guys, the swings that he's taken. I asked Bob about that before the game, you know, your thoughts on how he's swinging the bat. And he was just like, yeah, really aggressive swings. And you see it when he swings the ball, when he swings the bat, he looks like he's trying to hit a 5-run home run with he wants to get a ball wet so bad right now. He is dying to hit one out to the Cove, and probably McCovey Cove Dave will come up with it and come up with some nonsense reason as to why Devers doesn't deserve to get the ball back. But that has been the big story this week, and everyone has had an opinion about Rafael Devers and what he was like as a teammate. We had Jonathan Papelbon on with Willard and Dibbs earlier this week. We'll play that sound in a little bit. I don't know if you had a chance to hear what Jonathan Papelbon had to say on these airwaves, Dan, but he had some scathing things to
He's
say.
He's not a Devers guy.
He is not. No, he had some scathing things to say about Rafael Devers. We had Will Fleming, broadcaster for the Red Sox and Dave's brother. He came on the Morning Roast on Thursday. His comments about Rafael Devers were not all that great. A lot of the comments coming out of Boston are not all that great. But then you ask Alex Cora what he was like as a teammate, and this is what Cora had to say. I asked him this, actually, what he was like as a teammate. Here's what he had to say.
Rafi was always ready to play at 7 o'clock. He was always ready. He was ready to hit, ready to play defense whenever he played defense, you know, and I appreciate that.
So, again, that's a manager caping up for his player. Cora, very supportive of Devers throughout his entire tenure. I mean, again, Cora was here for his entire career, going back to that 2018 World Series team that Devers was on. And I also had a chance pregame to get into the Red Sox clubhouse because there's, you know, availability in the clubhouse for both teams. And I'm in the clubhouse. I was looking for one of the veteran players to talk to because they had, you know, Roman Anthony was in there and a couple other their young kids were in there. And, you know, I thought, you know, I don't know how much they're going to want to talk about this. And Trevor Story came in And it's like, oh, Story, he's been, you know, around for a while. He's been playing with Devers for a while. He's seen some things as a longtime veteran in this league. Hey, Trevor Story, what was Rafael Devers like as a teammate?
Yeah, man, I enjoyed playing with him. He's a great guy. I love the kid. He's, you know, he was good to, I think, a lot of people in here. He was, you know, helped some, a lot of people, a lot of young guys. I know he was big in the with the Latin kids, too. So, you know, he definitely helped in his way, and I think, you know, he did a lot of good stuff for the Boston Red Sox.
So, a lot of positive things being said about there. So, there's this war of words being waged about who Rafael Devers is as a person. I asked him to clear up any of the misconceptions that were being said about him, and his answer is like, you know, that's in the past. I'm here to play baseball, which a part of me is like, you know what? Like, I know Father Time, he kind of said that, you know, he gave me the old runaround on that one. I was okay with that. I kind of wanted him to do that because that would have told me that he's just focused on moving forward. And by the way, Rafi Devers, very well coached in his media answers. And, you know, Buster even said, you know, I'm liking his answers because it's all that nonsense, all that drama in Boston. That's 3,000 miles away. That's in the past. This is San Francisco now. This is a new era. So, which brings me to this Jeff Passan article that that came out yesterday on ESPN.com. Definitely check it out if you get the chance to go on and see it. And I don't know if you had a chance to read it, Dan, but with all this being said about Devers, he wrote a scathing piece about how dysfunctional the Boston Red Sox are right now and paints a picture of a team that, yeah, if I'm Devers, I'd want to get out of there too. So I don't know what we'll dive into this article a little bit more in just a moment, but I'm just curious, Dan, your overall thoughts on just how Devers has been talked about this week in terms of what he's like as a teammate.
Well, just, you texted me last night and I hadn't read the article until you shot me that text and said, check it out. And yeah, anybody who hasn't seen it, I suggest it's a good read because first of all, Passan's good at what it is that he does. And it is, you're right. This is systematic, right? This is something that's institutional when it comes to the Red Sox, according to Passan. Like, this goes even beyond Mookie Betts. Like, this is something that they get wrong just about every single year.
There's a pattern.
And not only that, but according to Passan, that there is, we talked about a virus with the Giants unable to hit. There apparently is a virus out there in Boston in cultivating the wrong culture when it comes to baseball and the Boston Red Sox. But getting back to Devers, listen, I think it was is a win-win for both sides. Now that I sort of, when you look about it in retrospect, I think that the players are sort of like, yeah, we're okay with him going. And I think the Giants needed to do what it is that they did. And maybe there's some immaturity. Maybe there's going to be some growing pains. You got to keep in mind, he's still in his late 20s, and this isn't the finished product. And maybe there is some attitude adjustments that have to take place. But I would say this, Sam, is that if he was a company man and if he was, quote unquote, getting along out there with Boston and the powers that be, and if he was a guy that picked up a first baseman's glove and was playing that position for the Red Sox, as opposed to refusing to fill in for Casas, he wouldn't be a San Francisco Giant. So I think that's the way you have to look at this, to me at least.
Yeah.
With all the drama is the reason why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
And had he been a good guy and got along, then he's not getting traded.
See, I look at it a little bit differently. And in this article here that Passan wrote, how the Red Sox Rafael Devers breakup got so messy, how they botched this whole thing. You talk about a guy who, again, it says here in the story, Devers, according to a person familiar with his thinking, felt lied to and betrayed by the Red Sox. Alex Cora, long one of Devers' chief supporters and advocates, supported his expulsion there. Craig Breslow, the Red Sox chief baseball officer who Devers publicly badmouthed amid the hostility, played the hatchet man. It's just, it's a mess all the way through and through. But where it starts to, it goes back, basically when you give a guy a $300 million deal, well, first off, the why matters. And this story talks about how the Red Sox did that to kind of placate fans who were upset about the trade of Mookie Betts, who were upset about not retaining Xander Bogaerts and basically letting that entire championship team in 2018 just go by the wayside. So there's some consternation about why they gave him that kind of deal. But when you give a guy $300 million to play baseball for you for the next 10 years, Dan, what you're basically saying is we want you to be a central part of this organization. Like, you matter so much that we are going to pay you $300 million to bring value to this organization. That's how much we believe in you. That's how much we value you. That is how important you are going to be. You are going to play a central figure in this organization going forward. And they wanted to build the next great Red Sox team around this guy. Like, he was, for all intents and purposes, their Stephen Curry over there in Boston. His presence, his position, his voice is going to matter. And so when you place that kind of scenario on a hitter, but then go out and do what they did with Alex Bregman, I absolutely understand where Devers would get frustrated. Now, what happened with Bregman? Because I feel like this is where it all started to fall apart. I don't feel like, I know, this is where it all started to fall apart. Devers is a third baseman. He's not a very good defensive third baseman, but he was their third baseman. And when the Red Sox first started talking to Alex Bregman, the talks were not very serious, and they were so unserious that the Red Sox did not feel like they had to let Devers know that they were even talking to him. Now, Devers, he goes off to his home in the DR, I believe, Samana, is where he goes to. And I guess he's very hard to get a hold of in the offseason, which the Red Sox, they're used to that. They don't like it, but they're used to it. And so they weren't able to get a hold of him, but they felt like it wasn't a big enough deal to get a hold of him. Right off the bat, that's where you start going wrong. Like, just having the talks with another third baseman. It's like if you have a girlfriend and you start talking to another girl and you're starting to potentially work out a relationship with her, like, that's still kind of cheat. Like, that's still cheating. You still can't be doing that. So right off the bat, I had issue with the fact that the Red Sox were talking to another third baseman before even letting Devers know. And I feel like, would Devers had gone along with things differently had the Red Sox approached him right off the bat? Hey, we're going to call Alex Bregman's people and see if we can work out a deal here. Would you be okay with that? You probably have a very, very different scenario that plays out in that situation.
Well, I think it's also important to note that Breslow, who is now essentially the acting general manager, he inherited Devers. And when you think about the article by Passan, money, I think, played an issue. And I think that Breslow was a little bit more frugal than the previous regime. And so Breslow inherited, he's not the guy that signed Devers. So when we say you just signed him in 2023, I think it's important to note that it was not the acting president of baseball ops that offered that contract to Devers. And that's a good place to start when you think about the relationship between the two. But yeah, to your point, it comes down to communication. And they did a very, very poor job of that. It's not unlike, on a much different level, but to bring it back home, with Brandon Crawford when Carlos Correa was a San Francisco Giant. And Farhan did not do a good job in communicating to Brandon Crawford that, you know what, you're not going to be our shortstop any longer. And how did Crawford take that? So communication at this level is everything. Yeah. And they didn't do very well at it.
So I want to, you brought up the money there. I want to bring that up because you're right. Breslow did inherit Devers as a contract, but John Henry is the owner of that team. He's also the owner of a Liverpool FC. He's also the owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I guess I heard he's also buying a La Liga team as well, where he's in the works of it. I actually bumped into a couple Red Sox fans. There's a lot of Red Sox fans there last night, but I bumped into a couple who are from Montreal of all places. One was wearing a bag over his head, and I was chatting up with them, and that's where they were kind of telling me, it's like, oh yeah, you know, John Henry, he wants to buy a La Liga team. I'm like, oh. Well, that can't be fun for you to hear. And no, they did not enjoy hearing that. And so when you hear, when the money becomes an issue, see, I push back on that because the Red Sox, like the Giants, are a big market team. Mm. Money should not be an issue for a team with the financial resources of the Red Sox. And You know, so where I'm going with this is that, so you can't use the money as an example, as an excuse, because you have enough money to be able to afford contracts like this. This is a team that, you know, can absorb ugly contracts from other teams to bring players in. That's the Red Sox financial might there. And so when you see a team move off a contract like Devers is, while at the same time, Liverpool just brought in a soccer player. I'm Florian Wirtz, I think is his name, for $156 million over to Liverpool. So they see them shipping out $250 million and then spending $150 million while also buying another soccer team. If you're a Red Sox fan, I'm furious because I don't care about your other teams. I don't care about your soccer team on the other side of the planet. You are the owner of the Red Sox. Your duty is to the Red Sox. That is your primary team. That is a team you should be investing in, not a team on the other side of the planet. Let someone else deal with a team that's over there. And so that's my frustration there, and the frustration that I would have if I was a Red Sox fan. And then you talk about the communication. This is where...
And then you can get into the communication. Yeah. Just to answer that, I think that the Red Sox, when they realized that they might have an issue in terms of the personality that is Rafael Devers, I think one of the things, again, spending time out in New York and out on the East Coast, New York influences a lot. And the fact that the Yankees, who print money, right? They make more money than anybody. It's the Dodgers and the Yankees. And when the Yankees decided that they weren't going to give Juan Soto, weren't going to give him his $45, $50 million a year and let him walk, and then we're able to get multiple players and are actually even better. They got Freed and they got players and they're actually a better baseball team. I don't know this is fact, but knowing that the rivalry between the two, I think it may have influenced the Red Sox that, you know what, if we can get out from underneath this, now it becomes really incumbent on them, on all that money that was allocated to him. If I'm a Red Sox fan, well, what are you going to do with it?
See, I think fans don't like that logic, though. They don't want you, because that was the Farhan thing. It's, you know, it's,
I'm not saying it's right.
No. I think that's what, I think fans reject that kind of stuff. It's, they don't care about the value. They don't care about who's making how much money off of what. What they see is the product on the field. And what they see is a face of the franchise type guy, a centerpiece of a championship team. He was the last guy from that 2018 World Series team. Mm-hmm. That was a stupid good Red Sox team. Won 108 games. Mookie Betts was on it. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, they were all 25 and under. And you had to feel like that was the beginning of a run. Remember when the Warriors won in 2015 and they had Steph, Clay, and Dre, all ages 27 and under. And Warrior fans knew something incredible was about to happen. Now imagine if Joe Lacob slowly just let Steph, Clay, and Dre go after that 2015 title. That's basically what the Red Sox did. Think of how frustrated we would be to see that happen. And fans don't care about the money aspect. Like, a team like the Red Sox with the financial might that they have, figure out a way to keep Devers on the roster and put Roman Anthony in the lineup and get Tristan Casas out there eventually when he comes back and Tristan Campbell at second base and figure out a way to make this lineup work. And that's where the communication comes into play, because what happened is, again, they don't tell him about the Bregman deal. And so they figured nothing serious is afoot. They don't feel, the line here is, there wasn't enough confidence in a deal being consummated with either to flag Devers. See, that's where the communication falls off the wayside. Just talking to either of those players, Bregman or Nolan Arenado, who the Red Sox were in on, that's enough. You need to get a hold of Devers and let him know. If Devers is making $8 million a year, if he's on a four-year, $36 million deal or something like that, yeah, it's easier to say, well, you know what? We weren't going to tell you at that point. But when you're giving a guy $300 million plus, like, it's more important to let someone know or let him know what's going on. This would be the equivalent of, like, imagine if the Warriors, after giving Steph a big contract, went out and got, like, a Damian Lillard to play point guard but didn't tell Steph. And then afterwards, like, hey, Steph, can you move over to shooting guard so Dame can play point? Like, that would be ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying that obviously Rafi Devers is on Steph's level, but for the Red Sox, that's kind of a similar comp. That's your guy who you committed to, your centerpiece of the organization, and you went behind his back, and then you're asking him afterwards if you would be open to switch positions. And this deal kind of came together with Bregman very quickly at the end, in the middle of spring training, and they show up and they ask him, hey, can you, they say, hey, can you be a DH? And Devers said, no, I want to play third. You know, you didn't tell me this before. He asked, yo, can we do like a transitionary thing where I play third some days and I DH others? The Red Sox nixed that. And this is where all the Farhan haters are going to get a little bit of PTSD here. I guess they showed him computer models and statistical data that showed that him in the DH spot would be far better for the Red Sox this year. And for a proud man like Rafael Devers, who took pride in his position, even if he didn't play it very well, that's kind of a slap in the face. And he eventually accepted the DH spot. And Alex Cora, where I think this was the next line of damage, basically told him, you don't need a glove this year. And so Devers, he kind of ran with that. And so things are good. But then again, Tristan Casas, he breaks his leg. And now it's like, well, now can you play first base? It's like, well, hold on. You told me I didn't need a glove this year. And so it's just so many instances of Devers being told one thing. You're our guy here, but then they go behind his back. You're our third baseman, but then they go behind his back. You know, we just want you to DH this year, but then they kind of go behind his back and want to change that. How many times can a player go through something like that before just throwing up his hands and be like, I can't deal with this anymore? And when you hear about how stiff and how poor at communicating Craig Breslow was, that's where it's just so much easier to take your finger and point it at Craig and be like, you botched this. You screwed this up. You created an impossible situation for your star player.
You know what, though, Sam? I would say that happens more frequently than we're aware of. It's not about miscommunication, that when you're a general manager, president of baseball ops, or you're an owner, you do what it is that you think is best for your baseball team, and players are assets. They're not, when you're thinking about these guys on a whiteboard, when you're in a room and you're talking about potentially upgrading defensively, that's where the conversation begins and ends. What do we need to upgrade defensively? Can we go out and get Bregman? You don't have the personal communication. You should. I'm not defending this. But more often than not, I think you would find in professional sports, whether it's the NBA or Major League Baseball, that those communication lines, and more often than not, are cut off. You don't have that sort of back and forth. There isn't an open door policy. I think we'd all be surprised if we were privy to what was happening behind closed doors. That happens, I would say, on the daily when it comes to big trades. And I know to your point that somebody, again, if there are trades and there's trading a guy that is making $313 million over 10 years and is the centerpiece of your team. But unfortunately, it's not. And I think that it all went afoul for them when they flew down to, they went PJs, they like to say, private jets, John Henry and company, they went down to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they said, hey, listen, can you play first base? And he said, I'm not doing it. I think it was on that flight back home, and they're like,
That's where they decided. It says, yeah, Paston wrote that in the article. So I want to put a quick pin in this because we are up against it. And as I said, we are going to do our weekly Bryce check. Let's see how Bryce Eldridge is doing over in Sacramento. And for that, we're going to go to our guy, Steven Rizzotto. They call him Pasta. Steven, give us our Bryce check, please.
Yeah, so we got a Bryce check today. It is a fun-filled Bryce check. We did not get the last one, so we do have some catching up to do just a little bit. So, Bryce Watch, last five games for the Giants' top prospect, 7 for 10. He's hitting .333, two doubles, a homer, three RBIs. Guys, he is heating
up.
He is heating up. .935 OPS. Last night was a big night for him. He went 2 for 4, a double down the right field line, and also wrapped a single at 114.6 miles an hour. That is his hardest hit ball since he got to AAA Sacramento. And then on Tuesday, he hit his 10th home run of the year, and it sounded like this.
The pitch launched high and deep to right. Going back is Lugo. Looks up, and this ball's off the back brick wall beyond the right field fence. A two-run home run for Bryce Eldridge, and he's now made it 5-0 Rivercats here in the top of the third.
Yes, he hit that against Salt Lake City, so that was a big swing there from Bryce Eldridge. Another thing that happened is that he's still working on his defensive course, and our good friend from around the Foghorn, Jeff Young, tweeted this out. Bryce Eldridge just made a nice catch on a shallow fly ball in right field, covered a good bit of ground, running backwards, and made a sliding catch to rob a hit. But although he did make an error on a foul ball later. I guess he misplayed a foul ball and then misplayed another foul ball in inning after that. And then, of course, Bryce was in the news once again. We talked about the Devers trade quite a bit this morning. He was off limits, according to Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. The Red Sox may have asked for him. Giants said absolutely not. And then the last bit of Bryce Eldridge news here is that JT Snow is going to pay him a visit in Sacramento. The Giants' former Gold Glove Award-winning first baseman is going to head to Sacramento next week, Friday through Sunday, to work with Bryce Eldridge on his defense. So he's getting a little bit of a help there from somebody who knows the position all too well.
Good stuff, Rizzo. All right. Well, Bryce Eldridge, you might need to start talking about calling him up again. No, we're not actually going to do that again. So thank you there for that, Bryce check. We're going to continue this Rafael Devers conversation on the other side. Would love to hear from Giants fans on this. 888-957-9570 is the number. Did you read the Passan article? Do you care about why Devers left Boston? Do you care about the communication issues? Or is that all in the past and you're like, Rafi, you're just here. You just want to see him play some baseball. We'll hear from some sound on the other side. You're going to hear from Bob Melvin about when Devers will play first. Also, Will Fleming, does he think he could be a face of the franchise type player? Rafi Devers, that is. Hear from him on the other side as well. And then Grant Brisby, we are 30 minutes away from him joining the show. So much going on here on a Saturday. And we also have a lineup for today's 1 o'clock first pitch. I'll unveil that on the other side as well. All that is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
One thing to just field the ball and throw it. It's another thing at first base to cut off some relays, bunt plays, completely the other side of the diamond. You got to get him some, you know, like flip fungos and stuff to where he's getting the spin off a lefty's bat. So it's a process for him, and we're not going to rush anything.
Is his homestand realistic?
I'm not sure. There'll kind of be an aha moment where he kind of feels better about it, but until you've actually played a game, it's tough to kind of, you know, realize kind of what you're up against. So it's there's going to be, when he gets out there, there's going to be some uncomfortable games until he gets, you know, up to speed at the position.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
That was a Bob Melvin pregame with a cameo from Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. Talk about when Rafael Devers might be seen at first base, and it's going to be a while. It does not happen overnight. So in the meantime, we'll probably see a lot of Big Dom Smith and Wilmer Flores handling first base for the time going for the Giants. And
how much in the face of the Sox, for the Sox, would that have been had he played first base in this
season? Oh, it would have been such a – we asked Will Fleming this, and he had the best way of saying it. Here's what Will Fleming had to say about Rafael Devers potentially playing first base.
It was an enormous middle finger to everybody with the Red Sox. It was. There's no other way to see that. And again, this notion of I'll do whatever they want, but they didn't ask me nicely enough in Boston. that to me is absolutely outrageous.
So Will Fleming not happy about how Devers handled things on his side. And Will Fleming actually was very close with Rafi during his time in Boston. He called a lot of Rafi's minor league games, and he was the only guy who could speak Spanish at that time around them. And so he had to translate all of Rafi's media availability. So he grew pretty close with Rafael Devers. And so for him to say that, that's pretty interesting as well. But again, his teammates, his manager, they all seem to be going to bat for him. Manny Ramirez, who knows Rafael Devers pretty well and knows what it's like dealing with the drama of the Boston Red Sox, he was defending Rafael Devers. Here's what he had to say earlier this week at the MLB Draft Combine.
Come on, Boston. Why you deem my guy like that? You don't treat
the face of the team like that. Actually, you're not only disrespecting Dever, you're disrespecting the whole fan base.
That's hot. Yeah, hey. I feel disrespected, Manny.
That's it. You have to. I don't care if you pay me $300 or $400 million. You need to communicate with me. I'm going to put it this way. It's like you telling Aaron Judge next year, as soon as he gets to spring training, hey, I want you to be a catcher. How he's going to respond?
Crazy. It's crazy.
How he's going to respond?
I know.
So that was one Red Sox legend.
Man Ram.
That was Manny Ramirez. And he had a line in this passing story. Let me see if I can find it here. In 2008, when he was traded to the Dodgers, he told ESPN Deportes, mental peace has no price, and I don't have peace here. That is in reference to the Red Sox. A Red Sox legend, Manny Ramirez, who helped end the curse of the Bambino in 2004. But wait, there's more Boston Red Sox legends rushing to the defense of one Rafael Devers. Hey, Pedro Martinez, what's the deal with these locker room issues in Rafael Devers?
I was shocked, just like everybody else. I was shocked because if you try to sell to me, knowing Rafi Devers, that Rafi is a bad teammate or he's not a team player, you're lying. You're going to tell me he's a bad influence in the clubhouse? He's not. Does he want to play every single day? Yes, that's probably why he was mad. Well, the thing got mishandled from the get-go. And I think if I'm Jimmy and I'm Grandy and we have an ex-teammate or a teammate that's not doing things like they should be doing, we pull him aside, all three of us, and we convince him to come into the things that we want to do together. This should have been in the hands of baseball people, not front office people, not leaking it to the media, not having a back and forth between the media and Alex and Sam Kennedy and Breslow. So I think it should have been handled by baseball people, Pedroia, Big Papi.
So again, a lot of these guys coming to the defense of Rafael Devers, and this whole thing becomes a big he said kind of situation. And Daniel, I mentioned I bumped into a couple Red Sox fans last night who were upset with Breslow and ownership. I then asked them, you know, who do you put the blame on here? And they said 70% of it goes to Devers. So a lot of finger pointing going on here, and it's just, it's a lot to have to sort through and figure out, like, because what it all comes down to, why this matters for Giants fans, why we should care, is this is the guy that we're married to for the next 8.5 years. And he's going to be well into his 30s when this deal ends. Are the Giants biting into a bad apple here? Or were things just so nuts and bad in Boston that he had to get out? And that really was just a disaster of Boston's own making.
By the way, Big Papi defended the Red Sox.
He did, yes. We'll hear from, I'm going to play the Jonathan Papelbon sound in a minute. He was also pretty defensive of the Red Sox.
And I think it's important to note that Big Papi's also taken a paycheck as a consultant for the Red Sox, which is.
And I believe Papelbon is a broadcaster for the Red Sox. So,
But I would say this again, when it comes to Rafael Devers getting dealt here, all of this drama is the reason why he's here. And you had to make this trade. And if you're Buster Posey in the San Francisco Giants, he's not available if all of this drama doesn't ensue. If he picks up a glove and plays first base, then he's not hitting in the middle of the lineup for San Francisco. And what is the Giants? When is the last time they had a guy who was a middle of the lineup guy?
Barry Bonds.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're just so
disrespect
the
Buster Posey or Hunter Pence
lineup.
Yeah.
And they finally got one. So I really don't give a rip how he got here, but he's here. And so if you're hung up on, well, could he be a cancer potentially? You know what, Sam? I would just say that you're at a point right now where because the offense is so bad that you had to sort of take this risk.
Yeah.
That if Rafael Devers is available and you're hitting like you're hitting right now, you have to pull that trigger. Yep. 7 days a week, twice on Sunday.
Shades of Jimmy Butler even a little bit. A disgruntled superstar, didn't like how things were handled by the people above him. Warriors swoop in, rescue him, and he found his joy again. And Rafi Devers on Tuesday looked like the man who found his baseball joy again.
The difference between the two is that he's still very much in his prime.
Yes.
And Jimmy Butler is on the wrong side of 35.
Yes.
On the back end of
his career. So they're going to have a lot more time with Rafael Devers to make this work out. And I do believe that he is coming to a far better cultural situation with the Giants than he had with the Red Sox, which, yeah, if this was the previous front office regime, I'd be have some consternation about Devers being here if that trade ever did get worked out. But Buster Posey's a straight shooter. He's a smart guy. He's a smart baseball guy. He understands the importance of communication. He understands the importance of empowering his players. He understands the importance of making players feel comfortable, because the San Francisco Giants, they have a history of taking care of their players. Maybe a little too much so. They are very good at making players feel comfortable and important and taken care of. Devers also has a couple guys in this clubhouse, and I'm talking about Matt Chapman and Willie Adames, and Adames is a great friend of Rafael Devers, who Rafi will be able to kind of blend in with. And also, and this is, I'm kind of curious how Giants fans feel about this, Devers is not going to have to be the leader, per se, of this organization in the same way that Buster Posey once was, because that's what Matt Chapman is here for. That's what Willie Adames is here for. Those guys are the vocal leaders on this team. And we've heard from a lot of people on the station this week that Devers is not vocal. He's not guy talks to the media. He's not your typical face of the franchise in terms of he's not going to rise up and say, all right, follow in behind me. You know, he leads more by example. He leads with his bat. Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because we have guys here in Adames and Chapman that can handle that load instead. So 888-957-9570. Love to hear from Giants fans on that. Do you care about the drama? Do you care if he's not the leader of this team and is just the big bat of this team? Love to hear from fans. Let's go to the lines. SF Bay Drummer in Houston. You're on the wrap. What do you got about Rafi Devers and the Giants this season?
Hey, what's up, us? What's up, Sam? And good morning, Dan.
What's up, Drummer?
I really don't care about nothing much, man. I don't care what happened, like, pretty much in Boston. Whatever is over there, it's staying over there. But I do want to call out the 2025 SF Giants who broke spring training camp and came onto the roster. These guys have to hit. Like, I'm watching Rafael Devers, like, just trying to be the hero and, like, make these big hits so that we can get, like, runs and everything like that. And I've seen the Giants before Rafael even got here and was even a thought. The guy was just back there, like, everybody was hitting. Like, they need to make it, like, more inclusive and help Rafael adjust. It's not that hard. So, like, they just need to be better. Like, Buster did you a solid. Let's reward Buster for, like, even taking initiative to make a trade to try to help you guys and start getting some hits and scoring some runs. Because you're going to run into an issue where you're going to run out of season, and then we're going to be maybe one game out of the wild card because we lost a game that we should have won. And there's going to be several we can point to within the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. Have a good afternoon. Go Giants.
Appreciate you, Drummer. Go Giants there. And I'm going to push back a little bit about what Drummer said. The adjustments can be difficult. Especially coming to a new place, coming to a new lineup, hitting in a new ballpark. Devers was asked, how do you feel about hitting at Oracle Park on Tuesday? And he's like, man, I can hit anywhere. It's baseball. And then we saw last night, I believe this, I brought this up earlier in the show, but third inning, he hits a deep fly ball out to left center that dies right in front of the B of A sign. You know, welcome to Oracle, Rafi. It gets cold and windy at night here. It's not like Boston, which gets warm and humid in the summer. But Dan, I'm going to throw to you here. What do you care at all if he is that leader face of the franchise, or are you okay if he's just the biggest bat in the franchise?
Yeah, I don't need him to be the leader simply because he gets the most money. I think, is Shohei the leader of the Dodgers? You could say he is, but I would say that's more of a Freddie Freeman team.
Yeah, Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts team. But Shohei's your best player.
Mm-hmm.
And English is his second language as well, which I think plays a part in all of this. I don't need, simply because he makes the most, that he has to be my leader. I'm with you. I'm with you that I think that making the transition a lot more seamless is guys like Willie Adames. And Willie Adames has now become... He can't hit, so now he's the new ambassador of the team.
So he's the most
Latin players.
He's a $180 million cheerleader, and now he's a $180 million best friend for Rafi Devers. So.
No, but I do think it makes a difference. When you come to a clubhouse that has that sort of Latin influence, and your best players are Elliot Ramos, and your leaders on the team are Latin guys like Willie Adames, it's stepping into a different culture. And I do think it's significant, but... Yeah, Willie Adames, it's great what it is you're doing, but I need you more than just simply taking off the helmet of the guy that just scored a run and welcoming as the new ambassador to the Giants guys like that of Rafi Devers. How about squaring up a couple of pitches these days?
Yeah, I know. So that's definitely, yeah, something they're going to have to get to at some point. We asked Will Fleming if Devers could be a face of the franchise type and whether, you know, getting out of Boston was a good thing for him. Here's what Will had to say on him getting a fresh start.
That stuff is real, the stuff that's coming out about, you know, his intransigence and his unwillingness to do some of those things. The only thing I can liken it to is like a broken marriage in a way, where you just hope that it just was poisoned and it was never going to get better in that way. Just the communication and the feelings were hurt on both sides. So, I just think if he comes here, when he's here now, I think that it has a chance to be a great new start for him. And I don't think he's ever going to be like the face of the franchise of any franchise. He's never going to do a ton of media. He's never going to talk a lot. And that's fine. And by the way, the Red Sox acknowledged that too when they gave him $300+ million. They never asked him to do a lot of that stuff. They said, we just want you to hit. And hit he does.
So again, the Red Sox were ready for him to not be that guy, to not be that leader, but they still placed that money on him. They were still willing to elevate his importance within the organization there. So they were clearly content with it. Giants fans, I think they'll be content with it as long as he's producing at the plate, which hopefully that will start soon. I mean, if there's ever a weekend to get your back going with your new team, it is against your old team here in the Red Sox. And putting up an ugly 0-for-5 last night, not a great way to keep endearing yourself.
Will Fleming is much more outspoken than his brother Dave.
Well, Dave get pretty outspoken too. Okay. Dave dropped some spicy nuggets on us last year too. So
Dave is the older brother.
Dave is the older one. Will is the younger brother. Yes,
both products of Stanford University.
I believe so. Yeah, they were both golfing at the SF Golf Club yesterday. So
oh, is that right?
Yeah. Dave's a member of every single golf club in the country. It seems like so.
They both did go to Stanford, by the way.
No, I know. I just said that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pasta. So
you're welcome.
Listen, which by the way, go Cal. This is
not go Bears. The axe is where it should be.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Did I mention they went to Stanford?
Oh, okay. So Will always had to say, I've been teasing this Papelbon sound. You got to hear what Jonathan Papelbon said about Devers as a teammate.
Can we do it with some Dropkick Murphy? Go ahead.
We do have that in there, but no, we'll do that another time. We did that actually yesterday. We played a bunch like David Portnoy, Jared Carabas. We played an NBC 10 in Boston clip.
Why is Portnoy doing Dropkick Murphys?
Well, no, we played his little sad, I'm sad that Devers got traded, soliloquy that he splurted out on Twitter. And then, I don't like David Portnoy. And we played Dropkick Murphys underneath it as a way to be like, you know, ha-ha. But Jonathan Papelbon came with Willard and, I believe it was Willard and Grandy this day. This was on, I want to say, Tuesday. And Papelbon, he had a lot to say. He was very unfiltered. He was very loose, let's just say that. And here's what he had to say on Devers being a bad teammate.
I do. He wasn't willing to conform to what the Red Sox needed. And when you're the highest paid player and your company or your team needs something, I think it's up to that person that they have to do what's best for the team. Am I in that clubhouse? No, I'm not. Do I hear little riffs and stuff about what's going on? Yeah, here and there. But I do know for 110% fact that John Henry was not happy with Rafael Devers. And John Henry solely made this decision.
So what do you think of Papelbon's comments there?
I think he's getting a paycheck from John Henry.
It's weird how all the guys who are getting paychecks from John Henry saying one thing and all the guys who are no longer getting paychecks are saying another. other than, of course, his former manager in Alex Cora, who had this to say about Rafi as a teammate.
Rafi was always ready to play at 7 o'clock. He was always ready. He was ready to hit, ready to play defense whenever he played defense, you know, and I appreciate that.
Or Trevor Story, who was a teammate of his.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed playing with him. He's a great guy. When you look at I love the kid. He's, you know, he was good to, I think, a lot of people in here. He was, you know, helped some, a lot of people, a lot of the young guys. I know he was big in the with the Latin kids, too. So, you know, he definitely helped in his way, and I think, you know, he did a lot of good stuff for the Boston Red Sox.
So who do you believe? The guys who have paychecks on this or the guys who don't? And that's where it becomes the he said thing. But again, at the end of the day, the important thing is, as you have said, Dan, is he's still here with the Giants. And that's what really matters. And it all comes down to is, do Giants fans care about the past? And that's why I think this is such a great move for the Giants, because they had the cultural infrastructure to avoid going down the dark paths that the Red Sox did with Devers. I don't think that the Giants would ever go behind Devers' back to sign a guy to play the position that they said, we want you to play. I don't think the Giants would have the communication breakdowns. Like, I get what Papelbon is saying. You know, when you're the highest paid player, there's a level of onus you got to take upon yourself to kind of go that extra mile for your team. But these things do go both ways. These relationships are two ways. They are not one way. I believe that when you give a guy that much money, it becomes more of a two-way thing. How you treat your stars matters in this day and age. And if you are a team that is not going to acknowledge that reality, then you're going to be a team that ends up like the Boston Red Sox are right now.
I would suggest two things to Giant fans. Is don't even concern yourself of what happened in Boston and what side you're going to take here. The only reason he was available is because of how he was perceived as being a problem child with the Boston Red Sox. And you needed Rafael Devers. So it doesn't matter whether or not he was a good player or a company man or not. The fact that, you know, he was available because of that he wouldn't play first base is all you need to focus on. That's the only way he was able to be traded and come to San Francisco. And the other thing that I would suggest you don't focus on is the 10 years and $300 million contract, which I know eventually people will go there. Look, it's not our money. And I think, as you alluded to,
I don't care about the money.
The Giants can afford it, all right?
You see those buildings out beyond right field? Yeah, those are going to pay for this contract.
So don't even worry about the money, okay? And as far as, well, what's going to happen at the back end of that contract, there's probably a good chance that he's going to be a very unproductive baseball player, maybe those last two or three years.
I mean, if he's a DH only.
Maybe not, but that's
just sort of... You'd extend your career as a DH, you know?
But if you can win now, or if you can win a couple of World Series, unfortunately, that's the way things are thought of right now. If you're getting a contract like that, if I can get some good years, I'm willing to eat that, mm-hmm. right? And so just live in the here and now. And I think one of our callers called in earlier, I think it was Alex from Atlanta, mm-hmm. and he said he felt as though that this was sort of an evaluation season. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Sam, by that of Buster Posey, that he was inheriting this team and he was just sort of evaluating, and it's going to be next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would disagree, because I think, keep in mind, a week ago they were a game back of the Dodgers. They had won seven in a row. They were ensconced for a playoff position. I think getting Devers was all about winning this damn year. It was about going as far as you can and potentially going back to a World Series this year. This isn't about tomorrow. It's not about down the road. This is about winning today and the reason why you got Devers.
I absolutely agree with you on. If you were to ask me this time a week ago what this season was, I'd be more inclined to agree with what Alex said, that this is an evaluation year. It is a playoffs and try again year. That's what this year was. Now, though, with Devers on board, and maybe we can get into this after we talk to Grant. I'd actually be curious. I like to ask Grant Brisby this on the other side. He'll be joining us in a few moments. Grant Brisby covers the Giants for The Athletic. I feel like this ratchets up the pressure on this season. This is no longer a playoffs or try again. I think there's a matter of playoffs or bust now on this team. You have a very legitimate looking lineup right now with Devers when Chapman comes back. if Adames can get things going. When you look at this lineup and you know the potential this lineup has, I see very little excuse to not make the playoffs. We had a conversation in the Morning Roast the other day. Is this season already a success for the Giants? This has been a very good season for the Giants. They have got a star locked up. They have a legitimate core locked up for the foreseeable future. Having a core is not enough, though. I think now this season has gone from, Buster took the season, went from this is an evaluation year zero to this is a year one, I want to see you in the playoffs kind of year. So I'm going to ask Grant Brisby about that on the other side. We'll ask him a bunch of other things about the Giants as well. And he will be joining us very soon on the River Islands guest line. So stay tuned for that. That'll be on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.